When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to another Roundtable Sunday night edition of the OHIO podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs, the guy over. I'm on the wrong side. Over. How do I do this?
Around
now?
Again, Eric.
Yeah. Over there. JR, in the know.
I'm here.
I switched up sides and now I don't know which way to point. It's crazy. And then the guy down there. That's the Wild Man, Chris Wilds. How's it going, everybody, tonight? Happy Memorial Day weekend. I love this weekend, not only because it's a three-day weekend for me, and who doesn't love grilling out hot dogs, hamburgers. We might smoke some chicken tomorrow in the smoker. It's a beautiful weekend for that, but it's what it represents that means the world to me. And so we acknowledge those who gave all so that we can even get on this platform tonight and scream and holler about Ohio State football and the Big Ten, because without any of the sacrifice that was given by the men and women in our armed forces, giving us the freedoms that we have the privilege to have, none of this means anything. And so I want to acknowledge that first and foremost tonight, thanking each and every single one of those who gave their all so that we might have the freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. So happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Larry's in the chat. Larry from Florida, he says, OH, good to have you with us tonight, Larry Daniels. And then, I literally just finished watching the Indy 500 before I ran upstairs to record. What a finish. That was crazy. That was a little bit wild. I'm more of an F1 guy than an Indy guy there, Dylan. But I like me some IndyCar too. Of course, I used to live really close to Mid-Ohio. So, kind of followed it from afar that way. Jeremiah Yoder in the chat tonight, OHIO. Let's go, Buckeyes. Thank you to all the veterans who gave their lives for our freedom, to all those who still serve. Thank you. Yes, very well said, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. Going to be an interesting show tonight, guys. We have Chris. We normally start in June breaking down positions in the Big Ten. And then that leads us to what we call our two-a-days. Where we start to preview all the Big Ten schools. Well, when we started this, we had 14, and that was hard enough. And now all of a sudden, it's going to be 18. So we have to get started earlier. So tonight we are starting with our first position group, breaking down the Big Ten. We're going to do a top 10 running backs in the Big Ten heading into the 2024 season. See how our lists are the same. See how they are differ. And then we're going to come up with a throw them all in the hat, if you will. Come up with a score and average them out there, Chris, and see what all three of us think when it's all said and done. That being said, that will lead us to another discussion that is very much Ohio State related. And then if we have time tonight, guys, I want to pose the question that we have avoided on this show like the plague.
And rightfully so.
And I don't know, tonight just feels like it's kind of a calm night. We don't expect to have a huge crowd in here tonight. Being Memorial Day weekend, everybody out enjoying their families and on a boat somewhere or grilling, whatever they're doing. So tonight might be a safe night to do that, but we're going to talk about Neon Deion, possibly. So we'll see if we get to that tonight. So let's start first, guys, with our top 10 running backs heading into 2024 into the Big Ten Conference. Now, with 18 teams, that's 18 starting running backs, and some teams in the past have had multiple running backs make the top 10. We'll see if that happens again tonight. I have a funny feeling it will. There's a lot of really good running backs in the Big Ten this year. Like, surprisingly really good. As you were preparing for this list tonight, I'll start with you, Chris. As you were preparing for this list, what jumped out to you about the running backs in the Big Ten this year?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's just that we have some really quality guys, whether it's via the portal or the homegrown guys. We've got a couple teams that have a couple of really good guys. You know, I mean, you look at guys like, it was very tough to gauge whether it's somebody who's been sharing time, whether it's somebody who's taking over the role, whether it's somebody who's coming back from injury. I mean, there are so many different levels to this that, you know, obviously this is a very subjective list we're doing, but man, it was not easy to do. I will say this, though. I do believe far and away that we're going to find out that Ohio State has the best running back room in the country.
I suspected that heading into this to this exercise, that there was nothing about that that changed my mind.
No.
And this will be really good. Throw in the chat who you think we're going to pick number one before we even get started. Ed Rogers says Judkins number one. That's not my question. My question is, who do you think we will pick as number one in the Big Ten? Being three Ohio State guys, you guys knowing our different personalities, who do you think each one of us will pick as number one? JR, as you were preparing for this exercise, did anything jump out at you that was interesting?
Well, I've looked at the running backs before. I've never actually put together rankings, but only two guys in the Big Ten had over 1,000 yards last year, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. Only one guy had 1,000 yards coming back from actually playing on a Big Ten team. So it's very interesting to see that.
Okay, can I make a guess on who that was?
Sure.
He comes from JR's favorite team, Eric.
I was going to say, is it the Rutgers running back?
Yes.
And how do you pronounce his name?
Munungai.
Munungai.
I watched a lot of Rutgers football last year.
Munungai. Tore us up, dude.
He's a very, very
good
back.
He tore up the entire conference.
Yeah. He is a very, very good back. And honestly, if he played at Ohio State this year, I would just be ecstatic. But I'm pretty happy with the other guy we got. But it's just really, really interesting because there's a lot of guys who had somewhere around 800, 700 yards. And there were a lot of guys that weren't really the bell cow back last year, but had like really good averages and stuff like that. So personally, to me, the running back position is going to be one of the hardest positions to rank overall in the Big Ten. I think wide receiver, you kind of know a few guys there. Quarterback, even, you kind of know a few guys there. But If you're talking about guys returning from last year only and not freshmen, this is going to be one of the hardest ones to rank.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, some more people popping in the chat. Mello, good to see you. Sean Schrock, good to see you tonight. Guys, let me know in the comment section who you think we will pick number one on our list. All right, so that being said, we'll go Chris first, JR second. I will go third. We'll start with number 10, work our way down to number one. Chris, you're up first. Number 10 running back in the Big Ten heading into 2024.
I'll tell you what, for me, it's somebody who's been very underperforming, especially in big games, and that's Nick Singleton from Penn State. You know, he had 752 yards last year, averaged 4.4 carry, 8 touchdowns, but really has been shown up, I think, by a more reliable backfield mate and Catron Allen.
Okay.
My number 10 is, Dylan will like this one, Devin Mockaby from Purdue. I really like the way he runs, and I really like his game. Unfortunately, he did fumble a lot last year, so that brings him down a little bit for me. I did anticipate maybe taking him out of the lineup, but for me, I looked at a lot of the guys, how they did against Ohio State last year, and Devin Mockaby had 110 yards against Ohio State last year. So, I mean, against one of the best run defenses in the nation, he was able to run against Ohio State. So, you know, that impressed me. Like I said, probably too many fumbles. I think he had one game where he had three. Which game was that? Yeah, he had three against Syracuse. So, obviously, that's not good. But yeah, number 10 for me, Devin Mockaby.
Well, JR, we are starting step for step. That's who had number 10. Yeah, that's who I had number 10 as well. I like his game. I like his story, by the way. He's got a great story, and he's tough as nails, dude. And I think he kind of exemplifies what that program is kind of moving towards over there in West Lafayette. I think he's somebody who you better watch out for. And it's good to see that we've got Always Irish in the chat with us tonight. So, John Kennedy, good to see you. And John Kennedy and the Always Irish faithful in Notre Dame are going to be heading south down to West Lafayette to check out that big drum down there that they got in Purdue. I still think
we should go, Eric.
I am looking forward to this game. Like, I don't know why, because there's nothing about this game that should excite me. But knowing Dylan and the Boiler Express guys and knowing John Kennedy, it's like water and oil, and it's just going to be an amazing train wreck to
watch. We need Dylan to call in on the Always Irish show.
I think we should moderate that. Let's have them both call in here, and we'll moderate.
Oh, so Dylan said they had Maccabee's dad on the podcast. He's a great from a great family. So, yeah, so there we go. So we're step for step starting off here, JR. Let's go to number 9.
All right, man. Again, underperforming guy who's shown flashes, all the talent in the world, but Donovan Edwards from that team up north.
Woo! He's on the cover of EA Sports' new college football game.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure that out because this guy only had 497 yards last year. He is just not consistent. You know, he had a big game against us, but that was about it.
We talked about that on the Big Ten Huddle. And one of the reasons we came to thinking Donovan Edwards might be the cover athlete is because a lot of the stars in the Big Ten coming in this year are transfers. And so it would be weird to put like Dylan Gabriel in an Oregon uniform before he's even played with Oregon, or to put Quinshon Judkins, which Judkins was on the cover, but to put him in there in an Ohio State uniform before he's been. And we were like, who are you going to put in there? You're going to put Colston Loveland? Like, you're not going to put a tight end on the cover. Now, maybe for Michigan you would. I don't know, because they love their tight ends there. But we thought about it as well, and we were like, we kind of came down to it. We were like, well, it's probably Donovan Edwards or Kyle Manungai or some running back like that that's coming back that people know and is going to be in the same uniform.
Listen, I love Manungai. I love his game, but there's no way you're going to put a Rutgers guy on the cover of EA Sports.
Right, and that's what we were saying. Like, we're like, it has to be from a relevant team. You know, not to say Rutgers isn't relevant, but they aren't. Like, let's be honest, nationally. In the Big Ten, you know them because they had a really good year last year for who they are. But,
So yeah, let's put the guy with 40% of the yards of Menungai on the cover. That just
Exactly. It's just a weird, it's a weird situation. Like I said, the running backs this year are wild to think about.
They could have put a picture of crying Sharon Moore on the cover. It would have made more sense.
That'd have been interesting.
That would have. JR, number nine.
Number nine, so I'm going to, I guess, copy Chris since I copied Eric kind of last time. But Nick Singleton is number nine on mine. I really, really like Nick Singleton his freshman year. I thought he ran hard. I thought he ran smart. But unfortunately, this year, this past year, I don't think that he was his best. I'm trying to find his numbers where I have them here. But, yeah, only 700 yards last year, 4.3 yards per carry, which, you know, the guy I have doesn't have a great yards per carry either. So it's not like it's, you know, the biggest thing in the world to me. But, you know, only 8 touchdowns. I feel like Nick Singleton's biggest asset is his ability to run. And when your ability to run is what was not as great last year, that's concerning to me. So we'll see if he leaves for the draft this year. He'll probably have to have a really good year to do it, but there might be another Penn State running back I have coming up later.
Okay. All right, so my list, this is where I'm going to differ from you guys. And I, again, this was what was so hard for me to figure out is all these transfers, like where do they put in? Where do they fit in, especially with the teams they're going to? And I don't know how to pronounce this guy's first name, JR. Tawee Walker.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's running back from Oklahoma. 5 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns last year for the Sooners. It's Wisconsin, and that's what is kind of – I'm kind of like, how do I even judge this? Because Wisconsin, you could just about mark it down. Roll whatever running back is starting running back for Wisconsin in the top 5. By the end of the year, he's going to be top 5 in conference in yards and touchdowns. This is a different kind of Wisconsin team. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting some really weird vibes out of the land of cheese when it comes to how this fan base views Columbus's favorite son in Luke Fickell and his offense. I don't know. I threw him at number 9. He's got good stats. We'll see what he can do full-time in that offense. That's what I got, number 9. Moving on.
All right, number 8, I have K'Ron Lynch Adams, the UMass transfer who has landed at Michigan State. 1,157 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns last year. And, hey, he could be part of the passing game, too. He pulled down 20 receptions for 118 yards. So, I think he's going to be a good versatile back. You know, the numbers I thought could have landed him a little higher, but at the same time, it was UMass, Eric, so I couldn't really justify throwing him up there too high.
I forgot he came to the Big Ten. That makes 3,000-yard rushers last year. My bad.
But here's the thing about him. He did it at UMass.
Mm-hmm.
They're not exactly playing – Big Ten level defenses.
True.
He's going to a team that's being rebuilt.
Had 100 yards.
Which means he's going to get a lot of carries.
Well, which also means he might not get carries if they're trailing in games and have to throw the football a lot.
Nathan Carter, I believe, is still at Michigan State, and he's a good back. He came from UConn, so Michigan State apparently loves the independent.
I didn't have him in my top 10, but he was definitely, I was looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I struggled to put him in my top 10, because statistically, you're right, he's a top 10 back, statistically.
Yeah.
My number 8 is Jordan James from Oregon. I like Jordan James a lot. He didn't get the most carries last year, under 100 carries, but boy, 7.1 yards per carry, 10 touchdowns. He played in all 12 games, but of course he was running alongside Bucky Irving, so he was kind of the 1-2 punch there. But from what I saw, I really liked it. I just don't have enough production from him to make him any higher than that. What do you have him, number 1 or something, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not number one.
I've got him top five, so.
I can't make a guy number one who has less than 100 carries last year and was a number two back. That. I can't make a guy like that number one. I can't even put the guy like that in my top five.
He looks so good.
Yeah, if he looks good.
It is a very small sample size, though.
You take jerseys off of people and just look at film and don't look at the team. That's the guy I want running the football for me.
Eric, he only had one game with 100 yards or more rushing last year.
Yeah.
Look at the yards per carry. That don't lie.
But come on, you're only getting 10. He only had three games where he was over 10 carries.
Exactly.
It makes it a whole lot easier to have a high average.
All the tread is on those tires. All of it.
Let's look at his games with his highest yards per carry.
Yeah.
8.6 against Portland. 8.7 against Hawaii. 14.7 against Stanford. I'll give it. That's at Stanford, so you know, watch out for those Pac-12 fans. His next highest after that would be 7.7 against Colorado.
But you can't justify putting somebody who had 1,200 yards at UMass in your top 10.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not saying he doesn't belong in the top 10. I'm just saying, like,
there's no way he's number one.
This is where
top five is a little rich for me.
This is where my fear as a Buckeye fan persuaded this list. You guys know I've called for the L in Eugene. That's where we pick up our L. This is the guy that scares me the most in the Big Ten.
I mean, they're
JR, I hope you're right, and I hope you can talk me off the ledge. But I'm telling you.
I get it. I don't value the yards per carry as like the end-all, be-all stat as some people, because yards per carry, like Blake Corum last year. Blake Corum was the best running back in the Big Ten. I mean, that just, it is what it is. I hate it. I don't like it, but it is what it is. And his yards per carry was awful. Well, his yards per carry was also awful because they were running him on 4th and 1 almost every single time, and they were running him at the goal line every single time. Now, not every team could stop him until 4th down like Ohio State did, because Ohio State's defense was legit, and Kyle McCord should be arrested for that stupid throw. Will Johnson, gosh dang it, I can't stand that dude. But still, like...
Hey, Eric.
Sorry, I'm trying to be positive.
Quinshon had 4.3 yards per carry. You going to ding him?
What?
Quinshon only had like 4.3 yards per carry. You going to ding him for that?
Yes. All right. Where were we at?
You're number 8, Eric.
Number 8, Katron Allen, Penn State. 5.2 yards per carry.
You have Nick Singleton above him?
Hmm?
You have Nick Singleton above him?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm going to make a statement. Mark it down. Clip this. Send it to Penn State people. You ready for this? Rutgers is better than Penn State this year.
Like better overall team or better record?
Now you're just pandering to JR's ego.
No, yeah, I'm not.
I'm interested.
Thinking better record. They have a better record than Penn State by the end of the year.
Rutgers could get 9 wins this year. It's not impossible. If Penn State loses to West Virginia, watch out.
So, I'm not high on Penn State at all. So, there you go. There's why I have him at 8. Number 7, let's go.
All right, this guy, I would have him as a top 5 guy if he wasn't coming off injury. That's Darius Taylor from Minnesota. I think that he's, yeah. If you look, he was Minnesota's offense before he went down, but he went down 6 games in. You know, the guy still ended up with what, 800 yards plus in 6 games. I think he's a top 5 talent, but I have to see it after the injury, so I got him at 7.
Fair enough.
I appreciate Melo, but I don't like him going against me there. Just kidding. Or no, he was talking about the Rutgers thing, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was saying that that's not a hot take, saying Rutgers is better than Penn State.
I thought he was talking about the Jordan James thing. My number, we're on 7, right?
Yeah.
I can't stand him. I don't like him. And I hope that he never rushes for any more than like 3 yards per carry. Donovan Edwards, Number seven.
Number seven, Donovan Edwards.
He was probably cheating most of the time anyway.
Yeah, so. number seven for me, Donovan Edwards. Moving on.
Safe.
Number six, go for it, Chris.
Number six, Chris.
You know, I'm going to go with the aforementioned Catron Allen. You know, I just think – I think that they have a pretty good 1-2 punch behind a pretty bad offensive line over there.
Dude, let's pause there now that we've mentioned him. With the news that came out this week in Happy Valley, and JR, you brought it up, if they lose on the road in West Virginia, watch out. That's not an easy road game for them, by the way.
No.
No, it's not an easy road game.
Start the season. I don't know.
The one thing I will say about – go ahead, Eric. You finish
no,
first.
No, go ahead. Sorry. No, finish. You go, you're all right.
I was just going to say the one thing that I'll say about the James Franklin thing – this news has been talked about before. It's not. It's just not been picked up by the national media. From everything I know, this doctor has had it out for Penn State ever since like the beginning. I know. I think it was Juck was on our last episode. I think he talked about it on his episode. But like this kind of stuff has been talked about for a while. It's just now being talked about in court, and so like. I agree. It's not great, but I don't think Penn State cares because I think it's been talked about and it's been out there before. So I don't know. Maybe they care about the, you know, public backlash, but this isn't like, you know, something that they've never heard of before, at least to my knowledge. So we'll see. But
all right. And then I got to fix some things here. After I say this, then I'm probably going to make some people really mad here. This is where I got Quinshon Judkins.
At six?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been eating the special brownies again, Eric?
You okay?
Yeah.
What? 15 touchdowns doesn't do it for you?
It's good. It's really good.
797 yards after contact?
He ain't scoring 15 touchdowns this year.
Well, no, because he's splitting time with Travion.
Yeah.
Are you doing a projection for who's going to be the best this season, or are you ranking who is the best going into the season?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
It's. I went into this looking at... Eric on special brownies would be a fun show, says Kennedy. No, it would not. I don't know. Maybe it's some of the medication from my kidney stone.
He stopped and
know.
Got gummy bears on his way. Yeah.
I there's some things about this Ohio State running back room and changes that have been made that I feel – we might be blowing out of proportion, and I want to pump the brakes because this is still Ryan Day's team.
Hold on. Are you projecting or are you saying these are the best running backs going into the season? Because if you're projecting, I can see where you're coming from with Judkins at six. I'm not agreeing with it, but I can see where you're coming from.
I was projecting a little bit.
Okay. I'm not projecting with my rankings, so maybe that's why.
Because look at who I had at number one. I think his numbers are going to be absolutely phenomenal. And I think Judkins is going to take a step back statistically.
Well, yeah, he's going to take a step back statistically. Him.
I got to fix this before I lose power on my computer. Something's wrong over here. So go on, number five.
Okay, I didn't get my number six, so I got to talking about James Franklin and forgot to. My number six is Darius Taylor from Minnesota. I really like his game. He didn't have a huge sample size last year. He was kind of like Jordan James for me, but I like him better than Jordan James. The yards after contact he was able to have and just how powerful he ran. Part of that was also because he got his chance, I think, like four or five games in. He got hurt quickly after that. I'm trying to remember how many games.
Six. He got six games he played.
Six games?
Yeah. He played six.
Yeah, so six games, and he had 591 yards, four touchdowns, 381 yards after contact.
Yeah.
I just really, really like him, and not quite top five for me, but considering he was able to do that with Minnesota.
Yeah, for me, I think he would have been top five if he hadn't been injured.
Yeah, give him a full season.
You know, that's it. I got, like I said, I got to see it. But, yeah.
Yeah. All right, you're number five, Chris.
I got number five. This is where I've got Jordan James at, JR. Okay. I think – I do think that coming out of Bucky Irvin's shadow, he's going to actually come on and have a pretty strong season. I'm not near as high on him as what Eric is. But you know what? I do think he's a top five guy.
All right. My number five is Jonah Coleman from Arizona. I really like what he was able to do. He has phenomenal stats. Where is he at? There he is. Oh, no, that's Jordan James. Where is he at? There he is. Jonah Coleman, 843 yards, 6.9 yards per carry. Only five touchdowns. I would have liked to see more touchdowns from him. But
it was in Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona, 634 yards per carry, or yards after contact. I apologize, 400. That would have been crazy yards per carry. But, yeah, I mean, just everything about this guy, I really, really like him. We'll see what he's able to do this year. But he's one that, you know, Pac-12 defenses, not the greatest, not the best at stopping the run. And, you know, he did kind of come from a pass-first offense and, you know, he kind of benefited from them thinking they were going to pass sometimes. So, but still a phenomenal back, and I'm excited to see what he can do in the Big Ten.
Did you guys talk about Coleman?
Jonah Coleman, yeah. That's my
name. I had, just so you're caught up, Eric, I had James at five. He had Coleman at five.
I got Coleman at five. Yep.
I'll tell you what. I got Coleman at four. So.
Okay. Wow.
It's, again, it's Arizona. You know what I mean? It's like.
I really feel like Eric, though, he's going to get a lot of touches. This is, you know, he came over with his coach. This is the coach's guy. I think that he's going to get a lot of action. I think he has the ability to do some special things.
How good is Washington this year, though?
Well, they're not going to be great.
They're not going to be bad.
I think they're probably a bowl team, but I don't know how much more I'd say than that.
Okay.
Probably 7-5.
That's what I'm thinking, 7-5. If they squeak out one, they shouldn't. Maybe 8-4.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. So you had Coleman at four. JR, you're up at four.
My fourth was Catron Allen from Penn State. Really like the way he runs. I feel like he's a little bit underrated because he's behind Nick Singleton. I think James Franklin is an idiot and runs Nick Singleton more than Catron Allen. Catron Allen ran 162 last year. Nick Singleton ran 163, so only one time less. But feels like in the big moments, they have Nick Singleton out there more than Catron Allen, which I just think is stupid. I think Catron Allen is the better back, personally.
The funny thing there, JR, is if you look at the actual performance in the bigger games, then he far exceeds Singleton in the big games.
Yeah, especially last year too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remind me to come back to this comment from Buckeye Blitz. This is we're going to get to this in just a minute. This is a great comment. This is where I got my Nung guy. And there was a part of me that actually wanted to have him higher here than here at four. He's a beast. He is an absolute beast. He almost won. I feel like he almost won that game single-handedly. And if it wasn't for that amazing turnover touchdown pick six that we would have had, Rutgers maybe beats us. And that one I haven't forgotten. So it's where I got.
Yeah. Kyle McCord got a lot of breaks last year.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
The fumble against Penn State.
The entire last drive. Notre Dame
playing, yeah, 10 guys at the goal line.
Well, how about the missed interceptions? I mean, come on.
Tons of them.
He should have been picked at least twice.
I remember people were defending him all last year with like, oh, no, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten. And then after he left the team, I was like, guys, let's all be honest now. He was not.
Well, here's
John's in the comments.
I knew that one wasn't going to go over well.
Here's the thing, though, JR. And we all, I think, started maybe drinking a little bit of that Kool-Aid when he went out there and had that game against Notre Dame. And you know, he was as cool as the other side of the pillow, but you know what? He wasn't good. He got lucky. You know what? That old saying, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. He was good till his luck ran out.
Yeah. It's true.
Anyhow, number three for me, this is where I've got Menungai. I think the guy's just a beast. You know, if you put him on a top tier team, this guy's a Heisman contender.
Yeah, I am Menungai.
What the? No. No, I'm sorry. No. Did you see that?
It's not even true. I don't even want to entertain that thought because it's so wrong. My number three was also Kyle Menungai. I think Kyle Menungai is fantastic. I think that he follows his blocks incredibly well. I think guys literally are just bouncing off of him at times because he runs so hard and he just has a knack for being able to cut the right way. I am so impressed with Kyle Menungai, the player that he is, and that he was willing to stay at Rutgers as well. Such a team player. I mean, this is one of those guys, he could have went into the portal and he could have got a bag. He could have went to an SEC school or a bigger Big Ten school or something and got a bag, but he came back. And I know that, you know, character really shouldn't count for a ton, but, you know, I appreciate a guy who does it well and has good character behind him. From everything I know about him, he seems like a great guy.
All right, my turn now that I got all my computer issues fixed here. Sorry about that, guys. Looks like I've got at number three Darius Taylor from Minnesota. Now, I know he's had some injury histories, but dudes, when he plays, he shells out. And here's the thing. He plays in an offense that's going to feed him all game long.
Well, yeah, because their quarterback plays hideous.
Don't sleep on Max Brosmer this year, though.
Their quarterback's no longer there. He's gone.
They got the guy from Ryan Day's alma mater, New Hampshire.
Hey, so Minnesota's kind of a sleepy sleeper team. If there's a sleepy sleeper, there you go. That's Minnesota. They're kind of do some digging on them, like. They have kind of closed shop in their program and kind of shut everything out. And I think it's because they really are like, hey, it's all.
Can I just tell you, though, I really feel like PJ Fleck ceiling in the Big Ten is 8-4.
Wasn't he 11-2 like a couple years ago?
Well, yeah, but, you know.
You're talking you're saying the new Big Ten. Now.
The new Big Ten.
So everybody's talking about Cheech and Boggs in the comment section. What? Which one's Cheech? That's what I've got to know. I know who Boggs is. Which one's Cheech? All right. So where are we at here? Are we on number? I just
get number three.
So are we up to number two now?
Number two for Chris.
Number two for me. This is where I got Quinshon Judkins in. You know, I think the guy is a legitimate beast. Yeah, he didn't have a ton of yards per carry, but 271 carries, first of all, wow. 1,158 yards, 15 rushing touchdowns. Eric, you think it is too many carries.
Too many carries.
And that's why he's at Ohio State, is because of the too many carries. He's there to share time with Henderson now to save that body. You know, for the NFL, obviously, but you know what? He's, I do believe that the person who made the comment earlier is right. I think he's going to have a lot of touchdowns this year because he's going to get a lot of short yardage carries. I really do. But, you know, I think he's still going to have a solid year. And I think that he's part of the best 1-2 punch in the country.
All right. My number two is Trevion Henderson. I think Trevion Henderson has some injury issues, and so that's why he's not number one for me. But he also has a few short yardage issues. But I like what we saw last year with him being willing to initiate contact. I think there were runs last year where he would have broken away and would have had a touchdown if not for some downfield blocking.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Particularly by the tight ends. I know people love to blame the wide receivers, but I think that, you know, sometimes it was the tight end's fault. I think in the bowl game, there were a lot of opportunities where Henderson would have been gone. But G. Scott Jr. did not know how to block, and that hurt him. So I think Travion Henderson is a touchdown waiting to happen. Like we saw, what was it, the first play against Michigan State in the second half, or Minnesota in the second half?
Minnesota.
Yeah. So I think he's fantastic, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and have that conversation like what Buckeye Blitz was talking about.
Yeah, we're getting there in a second. This is where I've got him as well, JR, and he has a burst that reminds me of when Eddie had that burst. And I thought, and I remember saying, was that last year, Chris, that I made that prediction that he, no, it was 2 years ago, sophomore year, when I said he could possibly win the Heisman.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible now because they're gonna share too many carries.
Yeah.
But he has Heisman-like talent. And that burst is something that gives defensive coordinators nightmares. And go back and watch the Notre Dame game. We don't have that run, we don't win that game. So there's some of those moments that he's had in his career. Yes, Chris.
I'm just going to say this about Travion Henderson. When he's healthy, he is the most electrifying back in college football. Hands down. That's why I've got him at number one, 156 carries, 926 yards, 11 rushing touchdowns. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, he can do everything that not only a good pro back, but that a good college back needs to be able to do. I'm hoping that the fact that he's going to be sharing carries with Judkins is going to help him stay healthy. Because, like I said, when he's healthy, there is no one better. I got him at number one.
My number one is Quinshon Judkins. I think that Quinshon has just excelled every single year. He's played 15 touchdowns last year. He had a fantastic freshman year as well. I mean, he was a three-star recruit and came in and just lit the SEC on fire, or SEC on fire, with how fantastic he was. I don't think Ole Miss is a fantastic running team, but I think Quinshon Judkins has helped make them a fantastic running team. They had that transfer, Zach Evans, they brought in from TCU his freshman year, and he basically beat Zach Evans out. I mean, they brought him in and thought that he was going to be the number one guy, and then Quinshon Judkins got there that summer, and they were like, yeah, we need to start this kid. And he's just been fantastic. I love the way that he initiates contact, and he is out there not to be hit, but to hit somebody else. And there are aspects of like that I just – I just loved watching. I hated watching him at Ole Miss because he's in the SEC, but as just a pure football fan watching him play, I thought he was fantastic. Yards per carry aren't there, but I think that was also because he was used a lot as the short yardage back.
I hate doing what I'm about to do.
I still try to figure out how you're doing what you're about to do, but go ahead.
Quinshon Judkins, 34 carries, 106 yards, 0 touchdowns for 3.1 yards per carry against Penn State.
And?
You can't have him at number one. That's not a number one back.
But you're going to give number one to a guy who didn't carry the ball 10 times a game.
Yes, because let me tell you why. He scares me to death. This is a part of the offseason, right? All right, so here we are. We're in the offseason. This is when everybody wants to talk their teams up, right? This is when I get nervous, Chris. You know this. Every year I get nervous. I'm watching Oregon out there on the West Coast, and I'm seeing – I was at that game in the shoe when they ran the same stinking play over and over again on us. And I know they're not going to do that again, but this guy can do it, man. This guy can hurt us. I'm telling you.
JR,
it's the same defense, Eric.
JR, when did Herb Street come on the show? He's over here being a self-hating Buckeye again.
I am not being a self... Dude, that's your job, Chris. What are you talking about?
I can sympathize with the Oregon fear. I can sympathize with that because they do seem like a machine right now. However, Dan Lanning is a young coach, was far, far too aggressive at times last year. He had a very veteran quarterback who made the simple throws and had a veteran running back. I'm not saying he doesn't have a veteran quarterback this year. Obviously, they have Dylan Gabriel. It's very good for them. But I see our defense completely, completely different than 2021 against Oregon. I don't see the same thing happening where Jim Knowles just lets them run the same play five times and score every single time. Maybe I'm wrong.
Mello's agreeing with you, and he's trying to convince me. Completely different team and defense is there. Yes, I know. I have a lot more faith in Jim Knowles as defensive coordinator than who we were trotting out there that year. And I want us to walk into Eugene, Oregon and just blow the doors off the Ducks and shut all the West Coasters up, right? Let me put this to you a little bit of perspective, right? You know, we got Kennedy. I don't know if Kennedy's still in the chat. He might be going getting ready for his show right now. I think they're doing a show here in an hour or a couple minutes over on Always Irish tonight. Okay, Alex. All right, Alex is at least agreeing. Judkins had a bad game. Now, he had 100 yards, but he had 36 carries to get there. 36. There is no way in God's green earth he's getting 36 carries, which is why we're going to talk about what we're about to talk about, because in the end of the day, these rankings mean nothing. I understand that. You understand that. We all understand that. It's just, it's fun and games, whatever, however you want to look at it. But this is the fact. You've got two number one running backs on this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question. How is Ryan Day going to handle this situation? How's Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator, going to handle this situation?
Hopefully not run stretch. Please.
I've got more confidence in how it's going to be handled with Chip Kelly running it than I do Ryan Day. Because I do think we would see more of that stretch.
Do tell. Explain to me what you mean by that, Chris, because that's an interesting comment.
Well, I think that Chip Kelly is more in tune to the running game. Not to say that he doesn't understand passing. But I think he's more in tune to the running game. I think that he's going to work with the offensive line as far as the schemes to set up the best possible situation. I don't see us running near as much stretch, obviously, as we did before. And not only that, but – and I'm going to say something that might not be real popular here, Eric, is I think that Ryan Day did a crappy job when I thought he had two number one backs previously with Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson trying to balance it. And
You're talking about this past year?
2 years ago.
Okay.
When he had the two of those guys in there and then Mayan ended up falling off the face of the earth, obviously, and we don't know 100% what happened. We'll never know. But I think he did a terrible job managing that running back room, given the talent that was there, and finding a balance. I think that Chip Kelly's been doing this job a lot longer. I think he's more in tune with the running game, and I think he's going to be able to help balance that load a little bit more, keep both these guys happy. I mean, and obviously, we're playing we're watching a game right now, Eric, that is different than what it used to be. It used to be these guys wanted to go out there and get 30 carries a game because that's what was going to get them to the NFL. The only problem is the NFL and these players have realized a running back only has so many hits in their body.
Yeah, you hear it all the time. That's what they talk about all the time.
Look at what happened to Zeke after he hit, the fourth year in the league. He just stopped being productive.
Although, give Zeke some credit. He's still hanging around the league.
He is. He's still absolutely there. But, you know, but what I'm saying is these guys are going to be happy if we find 15 to 18 carries or 10 to 15 carries a game for him, 12 to 15.
All right, let's split that in half and say 12 and a half each. Mm-hmm. That's 25 carries per game. Okay? Are we running the zone option? Are we running the option pass? Are we running the option run for Howard? Like
the RPO.
Is that going to be part of this offense?
It is, but I think if you're going to do that, then
how many of those a game is he going to get? Five?
I would say 5 to 6. Yeah. You're looking at 31 plays a game. Yeah.
All right. There's 30. What's the rest of the offense going to go? You know, you're going to have to feed these wide receivers and there's less plays per game now.
There is. You're right.
I envision this Ohio State team being similar to what Brian Kelly ran in 2021 with UCLA. I was looking up the numbers so I can give them to you really fast. Zach Charbonnet ran the ball 204 times. Britton Brown ran the ball 102 times. I don't think that will be the split for Quinshon and Travion. I think it'll probably be closer to 160, each. 150, yeah. Yeah, or 150 each, possibly somewhere around there. But in that year, the passing, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, that was the year before he blew up and was excellent. I mean, he was good this year, too. 2,390 yards, 21 touchdowns. He passed the ball 284 times. So 284 pass attempts for the starting quarterback versus 306 for the two starting running backs. I don't know if Ryan Day will allow the running backs to run the ball more than the quarterback, but I could see something similar to that. Maybe we get, you know, maybe 300 pass attempts and 140 rushing attempts each, maybe 150, 130, somewhere in that range. But I tend to agree with Buckeye Blitz. I think you'll primarily see Travion Henderson start the drives, and I think it could be very often you see Quinshon Judkins in the red zone ending the drives. Not just because of Travion Henderson's big playability, but guys, I mean, Ryan Day has some sweet running back like routes to run, and Travion Henderson's been running those routes for 3 years now. And some of the routes we saw him run, even in the bowl game, where Keen Holtz just wasn't able to connect with him because he was a young quarterback and he wasn't running some of that stuff, and he probably didn't have the confidence to be able to run some of that stuff. I mean, he has some sweet stuff for the running backs to run out of the backfield, and I think we're going to see that with Travion Henderson a lot this year.
That's a really good point, JR. 12 carries per guy, I don't know they stay happy. That worries me.
I mean, you look at what they've been saying, though, about why they came there. Like, they both know they're already set for the draft. Like, they both know they've already shown their potential. I think Travion probably needs to show more than Quinshon does. But, I mean, one of the reasons they got together is because they didn't want to either be a bell cow back. They both wanted to work together. I could see him being okay with 12.
I think so too.
Attempts per game.
I'll tell you who's not going to be happy. I think if I had to pick one person in this offense who may not be happy, I think you're going to see it be Carnell Tate or whoever's that opposite.
I like Carnell Tate.
But I know, but I'm just going to tell you, I think that we're going to be a big team across the middle with the crossing patterns and things like that, just given the type of quarterback that Will Howard is. Yes, he's got an arm that he can put it downfield, but he's not got a C.J. Stroud-type arm, obviously. I think Jeremiah Smith's going to get a lot of those downfield options. I think, you know, Emeka Buka in the slot's going to get a lot of opportunity across the middle. I could see Carnell Tate or Brandon Ennis, whoever's starting out opposite side, being the guy who's being shortchanged.
This is something that Ryan Day and Chip Kelly need to be cognizant of. Now, it's easy to say on May 26, ride the hot hand, right? And it's a whole nother thing to say, it's a long season and you never know who's going to get injured. That's which has been a theme of the running back room for how long now, right? Mm-hmm. So that's easy to say, but let's look at this from the perspective of game one. Everybody's healthy. They made it through fall camp. Who is the starting running back first series? Who gets the first carry?
Trayvon Henderson.
You both agree?
Yes.
I think Ryan's going to go with it because Ryan is loyal to his guys, and I think they'll also start the drive, you know, probably in 20 or something like that. And yeah.
A lot of interesting things being said in the chat about this. This is really what I wanted to get to today. It just took us a long time to get here because I had to make a fool of myself by picking people that had no business being at the top of the list, according to these two, which, you know, they're probably right. I'm just scared. I'm scared to death of Oregon, guys. Like, the closer we get to the season, the more I'm getting worried about them. And they're recruiting.
And I'm just the opposite. I'm just the opposite.
You are.
I'm feeling better every day.
I know. I love it. We usually we're completely opposite, but it's funny how that's happening. But
I feel like we're gonna fly out to Eugene. We're gonna get off the plane, gonna hop over there to the stadium, stomp a mud hole in them, and walk them dry.
I will feel better once I know more about the quarterback position, or I feel worse. One of the two. That is gonna be a big thing for me.
Like we get 2 weeks away, and Ryan Day still hasn't determined who the starter is gonna be. Well, we're gonna wait there.
If that happens. I might be coming on the show.
Here's the thing. He's going to know.
I don't know.
We'll have you drunk and Eric on his CBD gummies. We're going to be in great shape.
I will be drinking constantly if we do not have a starting quarterback at the beginning of the season.
Are we gonna have OHIO podcast CBD gummies? Is that going to be a new thing?
Yeah.
Shoot, guys. Gosh.
You know what? We are not going to market those on the store because I'm just going to tell you, Eric, I would not jail well. I would not do well.
Oh, great. Hey, man, the chat's on fire tonight. Good to have you guys with us tonight. Let me run a quick commercial. We come back. We got one more topic that we've got to cover tonight. I can't avoid it. I'm a glutton for punishment. What can I say? So let's run this commercial real fast, guys, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Neon Dion. The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com. I think most of you probably think like El Dog here. The same Oregon that has zero natties? Yeah, that Oregon. I know. Let's talk about Deion Sanders for just a minute. All right. So I wrote an article for the College Huddle that JR, I assume, sent out into the Twitterverse for everybody to read about his older son, Shiloh, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah. Is he older or younger? I can't remember.
He's older. He's a six-year senior.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the DB. Because this incident that took place in 2015, that's 9 years ago when he was in high school. So mm-hmm. He's definitely older. Okay. Anyways, the story goes that he was going to a school that Deion Sanders had some kind of hand in financing. And he got in trouble because he had a cell phone in class or in school, and they weren't supposed to have cell phones then. And Shiloh is the middle son. I did not know he had three sons. That's what the chat's saying. Awesome. I didn't know that. I thought there were two. My apologies. And he got basically went to what we would call in-house detention or time out in school, whatever they call it today.
In school suspension.
All right. And the gentleman, the security guard or whoever he was on the phone, was handed the phone from Dion, who said, take his phone from him. And he was on his – Shiloh was on his phone with his mom, who was divorced from Dion at the time. And he punched, got in an altercation with this security guard, and to the point where I guess he beat him up pretty bad is how the report goes. To the point where the guy sustained some injuries.
He's paralyzed.
Yeah, partially. Some bad injuries. Bad injuries. Anyways, Shiloh's being sued because that gentleman's lawyer is saying, hey, you owe my client X amount of millions of dollars. And Shiloh's saying, I don't have these millions of dollars, even though he had NIL dealings. And so he then filed for bankruptcy. So now we have this really weird financial story happening in Colorado. Now, I say all of that to say this. It seems like no matter what we're looking at, whether it be NIL or other instances like Shiloh's here, that when Deion Sanders is involved in a program, financial things happen. NIL, now this with Shiloh, you name it. He's an electric personality. He's going to attract a lot of people. Eyeballs want to watch him. The networks love him. This was a 4-8 Colorado team that I think was on national television 8 or 9 times last year. And some of them in prime time spots, right? Here's my question for you. In chat, feel free to answer this question as well in your own terms. Is Deion Sanders good for college football? Yes or no, and why? Let me know in the chat what you think. Is Deion Sanders good for college football? Yes or no, and why? JR, I will let you give your opinion first because I know Chris is probably going to blow a gasket.
Thanks, Eric, for this privilege of going first, talking about Neon, Deion. I don't know what to make of Deion, guys. He's not really for me personally, but I can understand, you know, the brash kind of nature and people liking that. I mean, he's kind of like he was as a player, right? Like, he wasn't for everybody, and he kind of rubbed people wrong way when he was in the NFL. But at the same time, you had the people that loved him because of his attitude and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's bad for college football. I don't think that he's doing, you know, did his son make a terrible decision in high school, and does he need to own up to it and pay the bills of it? Of course. But at the same time, I'm also not somebody that believes that everything your kids do is the exact reflection of you. Now, is it a reflection on you? Sure. You know, you raise that person and that kind of stuff. But I also know people that, you know, are great people that their kids kind of went off the deep end. And I don't know if I completely blame them for that. So at the end of the day, like, I'm glad that Deion Sanders is in college football overall, because I think that there is drama and I think that it is entertaining. And I don't think he's out here like destroying guys' lives, you know, like, sure, he was bad for Cormani McClain. I think there are other players that, you know, it wasn't the best for them to go to Colorado. Am I glad the transfer portal was a thing while Deion is here? Yes, because I think that there are guys that go to Colorado and find out this is not for me, and they need to go on from there. I hope it works out for Dallin Hayden in Colorado. We will see. Do I think this whole transfer portal thing he's doing is going to work? No, Not at all. I don't think you get quality offensive linemen and defensive linemen from the transfer portal unless you're paying big, big bucks. And based on the numbers that I've seen that Shador and Travis Hunter are making, I don't think they're able to pay the big, big bucks for the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen they need. So I know that's kind of skirting the answer a little bit there, but I can't say that I'm like completely against him, but he's entertaining, so sure.
Okay, so your answer is sure.
He's entertaining. I don't know. It's so hard to distinguish Deion in my mind.
Chris, can I give my answer before you give yours?
Sure.
I can tell Chris is seething.
Chris is going to end this show. I'm telling you, he's going to end this show tonight on this. I think Deion Sanders is good for a portion of college football. What he did at, was it Jackson State?
Yeah.
Was phenomenal. What he's trying to do at Colorado feels like a train wreck. So my answer is yes and no. I think it depends on where he's at and who his audience is. Is that a fair answer?
Sure.
I mean, but let's be honest for a minute. Like, this is what Colorado wanted. Maybe not all the bad press or whatever, but, like, Colorado wanted to hire him and for him to generate, like, media for them. Whether, I mean, like, you know that saying out there, like, all, like, what is it? No bad media.
There's no such thing as bad press.
Yes. Like, this is what Colorado wanted. I mean, if you read the stories, like, Colorado signed him for a contract that they cannot pay in however many years. So they are banking on the fact that Deion is going to make them money, putting them on TV and doing these things. And so, like, if Colorado went to Deion and said, we want you to generate clicks, he's doing his job. Should he be coaching a football team more than he generates clicks? Probably. But if that's what Colorado wants, that's what he's giving them.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
So you're right, JR. You are right from the standpoint of he is great for ratings. He is great as a media presence. Eric, you're right. He is extremely charismatic.
Very.
And if that's what you're after, then yeah. Yeah, he's the guy for you. You know what he's not very good at? Coaching football. The guy's a joke. He's 4-8 last year. 4-8.
But the team was 1-11 the year before that.
That doesn't make it right, Eric.
What do you mean it doesn't make
it right? Still a 3-game improvement, though.
Yeah. That's 75% better than you were the year before.
Well, but come on. He brought his son, who's supposed to be the savior. This kid's going to be the number one draft pick next year. Didn't you know that, Eric?
That's self-promotion. That's Deion Sanders.
It's delusion.
It's self-promotion. Did you even know what Shador Sanders was before last year?
No, and I didn't care because he
exactly.
was so good.
You didn't even know.
He's no good.
What do you mean he's no good?
Wait, you said Shador Sanders is no good?
He's an average player on an average team.
Oh, my gosh.
Playing in a below-average conference. You know
I think Shador is a little better than below.
He had great season at Jackson State or wherever it was down there, you know, playing against a bunch of guys who, what they say, the phrase is, he's going to be bagging groceries next week. Yeah, he looked great against those guys. That's just like Deion's coach, and he looked great against a bunch of guys who, you know, would be lucky to make the JV team at most Division I high schools.
Okay.
You know, he's a joke. He really is. As a coach, he's a joke. Great media personality, but he's a joke. He is a circus. He's a sideshow. And he really just, he's a distraction. He is not good for that team. And he's not good for the game, college football.
Wait a minute. Didn't Dick Trickle drive NASCAR? Wasn't that a NASCAR driver?
It was.
Is that his picture right there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch NASCAR enough.
I rank
SEC sport.
And any kind of automotive racing, I just don't even consider a real sport. So.
So I understand where you're coming from, Chris. I do. And there is a part of me that if I was a Colorado fan, I would be so irritated with all of this extra unnecessary media attention. Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's what they wanted. Like, he's doing what they wanted. Not saying it's right. Not saying that's what a coach should do, but.
Dion has a way of speaking out of both sides of his mouth. On one hand, he brings people in and gives them motivation and hope and teaches them life lessons that are invaluable. And then on the other hand, he cuts people from the team on the roster like that and doesn't even say anything to them. And then on Twitter, you know, mouse off at him. Dick Trickle says, Eric, are you related to Wade Boggs? Yeah, he's my uncle. So what?
I think he's referring to Wade Boggs, the third baseman for the Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees.
And the Tampa Bay Rays. And the New York Yankees. Yeah. He's Dick Trickle. He's a very famous race car driver. Anyways, my point is that Dion is starting to do things where I feel like he burns really bright and it's fast and then it's going to be over. Like 3 years and I feel like it's done. So we're in the beginning phases of probably seeing the very end of this Colorado thing, which was not going to last long to begin with. So all of that being said, I think Colorado will look back on this and say it was good for us. It happened fast, but it got us from a 1-11 to, let's say, 5-7 this year. And now we bring in the next coach and we're building off of what Dion was able to do to get us here. Beyond that, I don't think there's much there. Now, I wanted to talk about this because last year, after losing to the team up north for a third straight time, I remember reading people writing in comments who were wanting to bring Deion Sanders to Columbus, Ohio. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Sounds mm-hmm. crazy, right? Sounds wild. Sounds like there's no way in the world that would happen. There's actually a connection to Columbus, Ohio that I know.
Well, I know he played at Cincinnati, but...
No. I still don't think it happens. There's no way that I think it happens. I think there's a 0.001% chance that happens. But there is a connection that I know. Has to do with one of the athletic directors in Colorado who's from Ohio. But that being said, Deion Sanders has a ceiling that is higher than 4-8 as a coach, Chris. I believe that. And what he's trying to do, to your point, JR, is bring in a roster, because I think he knows I'm not here for the long haul. Even though he talks like he is, I'm here and this is where I'm at and I'm going to be here for a long. I don't think that's true for a second. He's trying to turn over the roster as fast as he can to give that make that roster as good as he possibly can for one person.
The son.
His boys. And when those boys are off to the NFL, mark it down, Deion Sanders goes with them. I'm about guarantee it, he's not going to stay in Colorado. So let me ask the question one more time from that perspective. Is Deion Sanders good for college football? Yes or no?
No.
He gets attention, I guess. I don't know. That was going to be my next point, Eric, was he – I think if we I would love to see him coach a team where his sons are not on the team, because I think the same thing. I think he's doing everything he possibly can to give his boys a good team so that way they can look good. You know, he knows he's not going to build a national championship team, but there's a reason why he's focusing everything on transfer portal and, you know, hardly anything on recruiting. It's because he wants to try and get, you know, guys for his sons. So if that truly is the case, and that's just what I think, I don't know that for sure. He's not come out and said that. But if that truly is the case, then yes, he's bad for college football. Because as a coach, you should be about your entire team and not just your sons. So I don't know. Like I said, if my opinion is correct, he is bad for college football, but I also don't know that for a fact.
I can't find a redeeming thing to say about the guy as far as college football goes. I really can't. You know, he was a great player. Don't get me wrong. Great player. But I just – I'm not feeling the vibe as a coach. I think he is far too self-absorbed to be a coach. I think he is – just a situation waiting to happen. You look, could you imagine, God forbid he has a player on his team that's in a Harry Miller type situation, what this guy would do? Because he doesn't look past himself, except maybe his sons, who he's just now living vicariously through because he's too old to get himself out there and play, you know, still at this point. I don't think he's concerned about his team at all. I think he's concerned about himself and those two boys. And, you know, that's great. As a parent, he may be a great parent. I don't know. And, you know, personally, I think the security guard probably should have sued him, since legally he can't go after the money on a minor anyhow. So, but that's neither here nor there. But, no, I don't feel that he has the right mentality to be a good or successful college football coach.
Okay. Interesting conversation. We'll revisit it later in the year and see how things go this year for Colorado. I don't see Deion staying there very long.
This is the thing. He's playing in the Big 12 now. So if he doesn't get at least a 500 record, then there's something wrong, because the Big 12 is something god awful.
Mm-hmm. But it's not the Big 10. That's for sure. It's not the SEC.
That's not even what's left of the ACC at this point, Eric.
You're right. You're right. But it's also probably the most, I think, level playing field as far as just like rosters are concerned. Like,
yeah, they all suck equally.
Jeez, Chris. That being said, happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. We're glad you came in today. Hope you enjoyed the show. This one was kind of chaotic today. It was all over the place. Computer troubles, and now we've got people fighting in the chat and all kinds of weird stuff going on. So I'm going to have to clean some stuff up, guys. Thanks for watching. We'll be back Thursday night with our call-in show, 8 o'clock Eastern. Until then, we'll be putting some videos together for all of you. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Remember, tomorrow is because of those who gave their all, man. Because they gave everything, we can enjoy the freedoms that we have. So make sure you pay tribute tomorrow for all of those who gave their lives for our freedom, guys. Till next time, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH in Carmen, Ohio, with all your heart. Till next time. OH.
I-O.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.